Welcome to Sketchbook Podcast, a discussion about inspiration and process with artists, creators, and designers. I'm your host, Daniel Montoya Jr. It was Thursday, under the sign of Leo. The U.S. president was Ronald Reagan, the actor, and no, the vice president wasn't Jerry Lewis. In that special week of August, people were listening to Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie and watching the Cannonball Run at the local picture house. And in the sleepy little town of Indianapolis, Indiana, the crossroads of America, Jennifer Nicole Barton was born onto this world on August 20th, 1981. Jen Barton is currently the color guard director at Rouse High School in Leander, Texas. Previously, she was the color guard director at James F. Burns High School in South Carolina, managing a consistent program of 80-plus students, both logistically and creatively. While under her direction, the Burns Guard program was a five-time WGI World Championships finalist and multiple WGI regional finalist and regional champion. She has worked with numerous programs throughout her career, including multiple Scholastic Guard programs, the CAST, and Etude Independent Winter Guards, Pacific Crest Drum and Bugle Corps, and Spirit of Atlanta Drum and Bugle Corps. As a performer, Jen has appeared with the Santa Clara Vanguard and Northeast Independent Winter Guard out of Florida. She has also performed with the Florida State University Marching Chiefs, Ad Astra Per Aspera Winter Guard out of Georgia, and Crown Guard out of Georgia. Jen attended Center Grove High School in Greenwood, Indiana, where she was a part of the Bands of America Grand National Champion Marching Band in 1995, and she earned her bachelor's degree in instrumental music education from the Florida State University in 2004. J-Bar, this is the first time you and I have ever met. Like, we've never talked before. I'm very excited because I get to know a lot about you. Has anyone ever told you that you should host a boutique show focusing on summer pageantry available only on mobile devices and personal computers with graphical user interfaces?
No. That's a new one.
You should host a show.
I suppose. I mean, there's lots to talk about. There's many topics and there's many areas of interest that I don't know if I have a unique or special voice for it, but that would be a good time, I think.
I feel like people would enjoy what you have to say about summer pageantry, whether it's about color guard, indoor color guard, winter color guard.
Or points.
Points.
You math. Seem
like, are you nerdy about that kind of stuff?
I could be. I mean, I feel like that assumption could be made about some of my previously private commentary.
Oh.
I don't know if other people have seen that before. Mr. Montoya, since we're just meeting today for the first time.
Correct, Jenny. If there were anybody out there listening who runs a local streaming service that focuses on not only sports, but the marching arts, they'd be, they should call you, basically.
Yeah, do you know anybody?
I don't. There's a guy, I think his name is Mark Gorilli, who's out there. He might know something.
Yeah,
but I don't know. You know, anyone listening, give Jenny Barton a call.
Give us a shout.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, Jen, according to my notes, you not only spin the indoor and outdoor color guard implements, but you also have been known to wave your hands in front of a band and blow air through a musical instrument. That can't be right.
This is a true story.
Wait.
This is a true story.
But you teach color guard?
I do. I kind of have a double life.
Oh, what?
Sort of.
This podcast is known for the hot takes, and every guest comes in here and just blows my mind with information. A color guard person that plays an instrument and was a drum major?
Yeah. Well, whenever anybody kind of asks about my background, I have a pretty, I've got a pretty rich background, especially in the arts and in music.
Telling me
it
when.
It started. Oh, that's true. Sorry.
Yes.
The veil has been lifted.
Oh my God. Oh, there is no clothes.
There. Yeah. Woo. Good thing it's chilly today.
It is. Austin chilly. That's right. Get out the scarves and the caftans.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Accurate. I started very young singing, and singing was my first musical background.
Well, do you remember the songs you were singing?
Well, all of them, pretty much. I started out in church choir when I was very small. And then in elementary school, I was actually a part of the Indianapolis Children's Choir, which is sort of like a semi-professional organization. It's huge. It's a huge organization now.
I assume they sang at the Indianapolis 500. Pacers games, Colts games.
Yeah, I particularly remember doing Colts games and Pacers games. I'm not sure. I maybe the 500. This is a long, long, long time ago that you're bringing
but
up
you're
these
so
memories.
But you're so very young.
Am I?
You look very young.
Well, I appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, I'm surprised
flattery
that you're
gets
not
you
in
all
school
places.
Right now. I had to get a note from your mom to let you get out of first period or whatever.
Nah, we're good. and then I started playing flute in middle school. It's sort of... The choral thing led to the music thing, and I fell completely in love. I had amazing band directors in middle school that just brought this passion and drive for excellence and just the whole music making process. And I was like, I'm going to be a band director.
Oh,
period. Like I knew in the seventh grade, this is what I'm going to do.
You wrote that on the back of your book.
Dear diary. Today I've decided.
XOXO.
Right. And being a part of the Center Grove program was just a life changing experience, with Mr. Dirks and Mr. Schessler and all of the other directors that came in and out of the program. The time I was there was just a truly incredible time, 1995, 96, 97, 98. I graduated in 99. And those years were just killer years. Now, where the story switches over to Color Guard.
Oh my God.
This is a good story.
I can't wait. I've never heard this before.
Sophomore year.
Of high school. Yes.
Jen is playing the tenor saxophone in the pep band at a basketball game. And we, the Indiana University pep band has those red and white, we call them Waldo shirts.
Okay.
Like red and white horizontal stripes.
Makes sense.
So at halftime, the Center Grove Winter Guard, which, you know, still is a perennial, just killer program, they perform their Ode to Joy show at halftime. Oh. And I had walked around to watch, and I couldn't believe what was happening. I was stunned by watching that performance. And anybody that saw that live probably is nodding their head and going, yeah, changed my life. And it was art, it was music, it was dance, it was creativity, it was acting and performance. And at that moment, I said, I have to do this. I have to learn how to do this. Because it, you know, you dabble in all these different activities, whether it's, you know, doing art club or whatever in elementary school, and then singing and making music and being involved in all of these different pageantry-based activities, it all seemed to just coalesce into this one activity. So you're not at Center Grove. This may have changed, and I don't know if this policy has changed. You had to be in the fall color guard to be in the winter color guard. And I was an all-state flute player. I was a section leader. Yeah, just a little bit.
Humble brag.
You got to leverage your strengths.
That one's going to market you better than yourself.
You got to leverage your strengths in your program. So
Does your boss at the high school know that you are an all-state flautist?
Yeah, I think
so. And why aren't you giving flute lessons or master classes or something?
They already have their stable.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't, to be completely honest, to double on that humble brag, I haven't played in a very long time. I've been just, you know, obviously teaching color guard a lot.
Well, they say those who can't teach. So write your letters and let me know if that's right.
I don't know how accurate that is.
I read that on a Snapple cap, I think. So anyway, continue. Sorry, winter indoor color guard.
Yeah. And so I was an instrumentalist in the fall and wasn't able to participate in the winter. So the girls got me a flag and a rifle, and I literally stood out in my driveway and just made things up and learned how to spin. And when I went to college, I took a year off of doing pageantry things just to focus on school, because I moved 13 hours away and I didn't know anybody, and I wanted to make sure that I set myself up for success. And then I marched in the Chiefs, which I marched flute, or I marched piccolo with Chiefs and at Florida State, and still was spinning. And I marched a local winter guard and a local senior drum corps, and then just went on a whim. I auditioned for Northeast Independent, and Jill and Robbie just were super kind and patient with me because I was very rough around the edges, and I got a spot there. And then I just flew out on a whim to Santa Clara and auditioned, and then everything just sort of happened from there and began the path that I'm on now, which is pretty exciting.
When did you march the Vanguard?
I marched in 2002 and 2003.
And those shows were?
The first one was Sound, Shape, and Color.
That is correct.
And then the second one was Pathways.
I saw you live in finals in Orlando, the safest place in Florida. Yes, in finals. I saw finals 2003.
That was not my best performance. I got pink eye that day and wanted to go home. I was like, I'm so tired. I got pink eye because I think it was raining.
Yeah,
this is before electronics, right? So we're having to hold these positions on the ground, like looking up and Orlando acid raining right into your eyeballs. And on finals day, I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't see out of this eye. This is not going to be a fun day.
But so are you the reason they didn't win?
I'm not going to put that sort of ugly on me, Ricky Bobby. But no, I.
Well, but you weren't first.
No, we ended up fourth.
So you were last.
Fifth. We were fifth.
So if you're not first, you're last.
That's true.
Apparently.
To some people.
Were you were still at the Florida State when you were there? So you were close to your dorm. Would you have to go back to your place in Tallahassee? Or were you going to go back to Indiana after finals or what?
I'm trying to remember. I went back to college because mom came down from Indy to watch and then picked me up and took me back to Tallahassee because it was about time for school to start anyway.
I see. So I just want to clarify because this blows my mind. You can read music?
Absolutely.
Can you clean a band?
Well, I mean, maybe not the ones in Leander, but yeah.
Surely there is a kid in every band that still plays the wrong notes or has the wrong
notes. Yeah, everybody has that. Yeah, absolutely. I think that ears stay ears all the time.
I think so.
And I think teaching stays teaching all the time. So, you know, I can lend a hand. I can lend a basic hand for sure.
Oh, well, you hear that, band directors in the Austin area?
Please don't call me.
If you need a flute teacher.
I don't have time.
Please call Jennifer Nicole Barton at flutechiefvanguard.com.
That's not my email address, but also .com.
So flute, huh? All the kids want to know if you can beat Lizzo in a flute battle.
I don't want to, that's going to be a political move that I don't want to make, because I love Lizzo with my whole heart and soul. I will not choose a side. I will be Switzerland on this one. And I saw her live.
Did you? At ACL
on Sunday, which was just, if you have the ability, I'm not even going to say if you have the means, if you have the ability, you've got to see her live. Cause it's just the most incredible performance. It was just an hour of her doing her thing. And it was wild to watch because when we got there, Third Eye Blind was playing on the stage next.
Third Eye Blind, for those who don't know, is a band that was big in the 90s.
And they're still fantastic. Like,
they played that one song?
They've got a couple, I think, like big hits on the radio. But their show was great. Big screens. They've got the AV presentation in the background. Mm-hmm. And Lizzo's stage is a sign that says Lizzo and a picture of her album cover. There's nothing animated. There's not a coordinated visual package. It's just her and her six dancers that she calls the big girls, and it's the most uplifting, energetic. She's incredible.
So in a lot of ways, her production was a UIL show, very clean cut, about execution, about the music.
It's all about her and the music and her mindset and philosophy about things. It was really, really amazing. And I've never been to a performance or like a festival or a concert like that and turned around and been completely gobsmacked by how many people were there. Okay. I mean, the whole park was completely
probably
full.
All there for her every weekend.
Well, right? And then Mumford & Sons was after, and it's and it was a huge area.
Of course.
The main stage has a lot more space.
She wasn't on the main stage?
She was not on the main stage.
Probably because when they booked her, she hadn't become
And there was a whole news article about this at the Austin Statement.
Sure.
That people were like, last weekend, her show was completely, like, almost painfully packed.
You're talking first weekend of ACL.
Yeah, first weekend. Yeah, so she played both weekends. And it was on the same stage in the same area. And I can see that the rush of people to see her, especially the first weekend, was going to be incredibly, incredibly dense with humanity.
Yes.
And so they decided this weekend that they were going to open up and play it on basically all the stages that were nearby so more people could see it. Like, if you couldn't see the stage, this second stage was going to be playing on the video screens.
Have they done that before?
I'm not a connoisseur of ACL.
Well,
I'm not either. I'm still new to the area.
But from what
I understand, they normally wouldn't play one stage of show and another stage. So they opened up and played it on the stage next to it, and there was a couple smaller stages where they were playing it as well, just to allow more people to take part in it. Because when they sign the artists, they sign them at least a year in advance.
Sure. Yeah.
And a year ago, some folks knew of her.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard of her because at one point in time, this might have been 2 or 3 years ago, Adele tweeted about, tweeted Phone, which is the Rouse staff's favorite Lizzo song.
Is it? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And that's
your jam?
After football game hype song in the car while we're waiting. But Adele had tweeted about Lizzo, like, look out for her. She's incredible. And so you download a couple of those songs. And The Truth Hurts, which is her new one, is from 2017.
And if you're a fan of the TikTok app, you knew about that song way before the mainstream folks did. So you, in a lot of ways, you and I are the hipsters of Lizzo. We knew. Oh, she's just so mainstream now.
Everyone listens to her now.
So it was Mumford & Sons on the main stage?
Yeah, they were the headliners.
So that means Lizzo's on the opposite end. So yes. I know exactly which stages you're talking. Yeah, that... I saw Childish Gambino on that stage, but he wasn't Childish Gambino yet.
And then he played his last show Saturday.
Oh my God. Yeah. Once again, another hipster. I saw him before he was.
He's so great.
Yeah, he's amazing. Now, you just said you didn't want to make a statement about the flute battle, but can you beat her in a rap battle?
Oh, absolutely.
You just, absolutely, oh my God,
not.
You just made the
I was
going to
say,
Britney
no, absolutely like, not. Oh. I was in the middle of saying absolutely not. And then my students will tell you that I'm pretty good at making up songs
freestyle?
And raps. But it kind of takes, I'm not as quick as her, I don't think. And they're mostly about band or counts.
Do you want me to lay down a beat for you? You're going to rap for us all?
I haven't had all my coffee yet.
You would be the first to rap live on our podcast.
I haven't had all my coffee
yet. And can you explain to everyone at home what coffee you're drinking right now?
Right now, this is my go-to drink. And I drink this when it's 20 degrees and when it's 115. Mm-hmm. I am that meme of iced coffee. All day, every day. And this is, I do the Cascara Cold Foam Cold Brew from the Bucks of Star.
Yep.
And I get it with 2 pumps vanilla, one pump raspberry, and extra Cascara topping.
I don't know what that means, but...
It's the extra sprinkle. The Cascara topping is the sprinkles that they put on top, because then when you get done, it's like the little crunchy.
Oh, I see. And I see you're doing your part to save the turtles.
Well, yeah, because it's going to come with the cold foam drinks. I'm a reformed barista. The cold foam drinks... have the sippy cup lid on.
Wait. Were you a Starbucks barista?
I was a Starbucks
barista. In Florida?
Barista.
Or in Burns?
No.
Or in Gaffney or whatever?
In Greenville.
Greenville,
and then
Indiana.
I was here for about 6 months before life
before you
got crazy.
Wait, did you just move here just to work at Starbucks?
No, I moved here to work at Rouse.
You moved here for a boy? A girl?
No,
boy and a girl?
For a job.
A job. Well, Rouse is a boy in a lot of ways.
It was named after
John,
a gentleman.
John James Rouse, I think, is his name. I don't know. Let's assume so. Robert Rouse.
That would be a good alliteration.
It would. So you worked at Starbucks here?
Yeah.
Where?
On Anderson Mill.
I know which one that is. Oh, wow.
Pretty high impact store. And it was, 3:30 in the morning, started to put a little bit of a toll on the body and the mind during marching band season. So
you did both?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Why would you do such thing?
Well, I've worked in retail a lot, and I think that I told you I have a lot. I've got a lot of stuff going on.
Name all the retail stores you've worked at.
My very first job ever was at Foot Locker in the Greenwood Park Mall.
Did you know that I like shoes, Jennifer?
Someone told me that.
Somebody told me. Yes, it's the killer song.
Someone told me that.
Yeah. Wow. Foot Locker.
Foot Locker.
And this would be in the late 90s when Foot Locker was at like the height of where you went to get shoes.
Yeah,
did you witness rumbles for like the new Jordans and stuff?
No,
like that?
I didn't work there long enough to do any of those hype shoe releases.
Never been more excited than disappointed very quickly on this podcast.
Well, shoes aren't necessarily
your jam.
Yeah, my jam. I mean, I like shoes. I wear shoes.
Apparently.
Shoes are good.
Now you just did a segue, which is fantastic. Can you, for everyone listening at home, because apparently today's standardized testing for some folks, maybe they're in their gym, maybe they're in their bathtub, maybe they're in their car stuck on 1604 for 2 hours. Can you describe in excruciating detail the shoes that you came in wearing?
Excruciating detail?
I want everyone... to feel like they know what you slipped your feet into this morning.
Okay, well, the shoes that I have now are Innovate Park Claws. They are a running trail shoe that are good for plantar fasciitis. In 2017, I had a pretty terrible bout of that.
Nerd alert.
Yeah, when I was teaching at PC, I was having some pretty bad struggles.
Are you PC, bro?
Always.
Okay.
Always. And I had to do a bunch of research about, the drop of the shoe and the toe box and all of this
jazz.
Wow,
you know some terms.
Some terms. Don't ask me to define them, but I know that they're important things to consider.
They are.
And so I started, the Innovates really helped a lot.
Uh-huh.
But in particular, I think you're wanting me to describe the condition of my shoes.
The colorway, maybe? The sole?
These shoes were purchased so I could have my running and teaching shoes, but they're the closest thing with my needs for shoes that were to Rouse colors. So when I got them, they are mostly gray. They've got maroon accents and a little bit of like salmon colored accents. They had like these weird purple and turquoise ones, which would work for our show this year.
Correct. For the Midnight City, Garden of Dreams, where the streets have no names. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Burning Down Love. That was the closest that I could get to our school colors. So, gotcha. And they are in need of disrepair, but I've got a new pair of shoes waiting for me at my apartment.
I'm excited again.
These are Merrell and Tora Rainbows. So they are a trail running shoe as well. I find that those shoes for me give, even though I'm on concrete and running, like not necessarily running. I mean, I might be chasing after kids sometimes, but those trail running shoes tend to give me the best support for the buck. And the cool thing is that I also work at Bowie High School.
What?
And the colors, these rainbow colors on the shoe are not like your standard rainbow.
Right.
It combines really the main color scheme of the Ralph show and the main color scheme of the Bowie show into one shoe. So I saw those and they're the right style and the right fit and all those good things. So I've got new shoes today, Daniel.
You know what? I was going to talk about color guards, but let's talk more about shoes. So Innovate, is it spelled I-N-O-V-8?
Yes.
Oh my God.
INOV dash and then
of course it is. Of course it is. So after Foot Locker, what happened?
After Foot Locker, I don't know if you would count Putt-Putt Golf and Games as a retail. That was my summer job after my senior year of high school.
And for those, again, listening at home, Putt-Putt is like what Top Golf was, except you had a miniature golf course. And there were no foods or beverages, and it was like circus food.
Well, this was like a big putt-putt. What? So it had putt-putt, it had go-karts, it had the inside
arcade.
You're
describing
laser tag,
my middle school and high school experience.
And we had pizza, we had the frosty slushy machine.
Yes.
So it was a thing. It was a big deal.
What was the place called? Do you remember?
It was called Putt-Putt Golf and Games.
Oh, we had Celebration Station.
Nice.
Which is off of Ben White, which now it's all hotels. But yes, Celebration. Or there was the other one. I can't remember what it is. Malibu? Did y'all have a Malibu up there?
Not to my knowledge. We had a lot of the Putt-Putt Golf and Games.
That was a big thing in Indiana. Huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
The Olympic team traditionally comes from Indiana, the Putt-Putt Olympic.
There's an Olympic?
I'm assuming, right?
They keep adding and taking away Olympic sports.
Jennifer.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Putt-Putt Golf and Game.
Mm-hmm. And then when I went to school, I started teaching. I started teaching on pretty right away, teaching color guard and in Tallahassee. And it was, I guess, did I start in 2005? I worked at Bath & Body Works for a long time. I was a part-time manager at a Bath & Body Works for a long time.
I just love that we are of a certain age and you are talking about things that people of a certain, like Bath and Body Works was a huge thing when I was in high school, and probably I graduated in 1996. So that was Foot Locker, Bath and Body Works, Putt-Putt Golf. Like all the next thing you're going to tell me you worked at a movie theater that showed like four theater, because I did that, or a Blockbuster Video.
Oh no, I had some good times Friday nights at Blockbuster Video, walking around and trying to see, like, you're going after your video and then you walk up and all it has is the piece of paper. And you put your hands in tiny fists and shake them at the sky because you can't watch the movie that you want to watch because everyone's checked it out.
And there's like,
or like the wall of the newest release. That was always my favorite part.
We would set that out the night before, and God, people were there at like 10 o'clock in the morning. They had to get that latest, Three Men and a Baby sequel.
Was Titanic
I was in college at that time.
Okay.
So I wasn't working at the Blockbuster, but, yeah, Titanic. That was on two VHSs. Two VHS tapes. Yes. Oh my God.
The cultural phenomenon that was Titanic.
It was. It was the number two. You know what? It will remain the number one all time highest grossing movie of all time in my heart. Sorry, Endgame. You game the system by re-releasing. So after Bath and Body Works.
That was pretty, aside from Starbucks, I guess that's food service / retail. That's my sort of non-teaching job experience.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, the Florida State Chiefs?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, the Marching Chiefs.
Do you follow them professionally in their college football whatnot?
I dabble.
You dabble a little?
You know, I
don't think they're doing very well.
No.
I think they, let's see, I'm looking at their schedule right now.
Yeah.
They barely beat Louisiana Monroe. Oh my God. What's the guy named Willie Taggart? Is that
yes.
his name? Oh
yes.
God. Are you in the get rid of Willie Taggart?
To be completely frank with you, I don't have a whole lot of deep seated passions for mm-hmm. sports. Mm-hmm. I certainly enjoy watching them. I enjoy going to the events more than watching them on TV. So for example, I lived in Atlanta for a few years and I loved going to the Braves games.
Oh,
because it's such an experience, yeah. right? At Turner Field.
And this was the one that they turned the Olympic. Yeah, into the new,
yes.
because it was in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, which
yes.
was, if you're old, you get it. So anyway, continue, sorry.
And going, the pageantry of uh-huh. the events, you know, the pageantry that is the Lowe's Home Improvement Tool Race. If you're an Atlanta person, you mm-hmm. know exactly what I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm not an Atlanta person.
They dress up people as a drill and a hammer, and I can't remember what the other one is. It might be a paintbrush.
Okay.
I can't remember what the third one is. And they like
have they to run around. They like run. The sausage races, right?
yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, take me out to the ball game and the you know, yeah. all the food and all the people.
You would think one would be a Chick-fil-A sandwich, one would be a Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. and the other would be a
Delta flight ticket to somewhere.
We can do that one. I was going to be a little bit more risque, but I mean, there are some things that Atlanta's known for. I see. Wow. Wow. You are very, I don't know why we haven't talked before. I feel like we have a good rapport, as they say.
I agree.
I do. Now, Jennifer, because we just met, mm-hmm. we've talked so much. you seem like you're down with what's been happening in the world. So can you explain to me, are there in fact laws when drinking claws?
I think it depends. From what I understand in terms of politics, that's something that's been sort of shuffled over to the states' rights issue. So, you know, I don't think that the federal mm-hmm. government is going to really look at that and say, you know, we need to establish a set of laws
yes.
when you're drinking claws. Mm-hmm. They've mm-hmm. said, you know, I think that the communities know best what they need
that's
in regards
correct.
To
states
this subject.
Rights, yes. uh-huh.
So that's more, I believe that that's more of a local issue. So I can't speak pretty eloquently because there's such varied approaches to the laws when drinking claws.
Thank you, Martin. Your time is up.
I think around Texas, there are no laws when you're drinking
claws.
You got
a gun in your hand and a football in the other. You can do whatever you want. I think that's how it works. Can you tell me about the Delta Diamonds?
Oh, the Delta Diamonds. Oh, yes, of course I can. I taught at Spirit in 2014, and I was just a technician that mm-hmm. year. And the next year, I was promoted up to being the caption head. And my friend Ricardo Robinson, that mm-hmm. teaches down at Braden River in the Tampa area in Florida, he had been a part of the educational team there for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I had recently watched some episodes of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
The tryout one?
Right, the tryout show. And yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm like, we're in the South. How cute would it be to just give them this like funky dance team type of name? And we went back and forth and then we came up with the Delta Diamonds. And because I'm a big fan of alliteration when you're coming up with names, which mm-hmm, is, mm-hmm. that's just kind of an idiosyncratic thing about me. But the Delta Diamonds became this sort of persona of them mm-hmm. to have. Well, and you know, you look at the University of Alabama, you look at mm-hmm. Jacksonville State University, and especially Alabama, the Million Dollar Band, and then the Color Guard there, mm-hmm. and their Winter Guard as well, that the polished, confident, mm-hmm. elegant exterior that they put out is the professionalism of it is such a huge draw
sure.
for students.
Yeah.
And it's such a marketable thing. And I thought it was very interesting that we both kind of came up with this thing hundreds of miles away from each other
right, yeah.
to make this sort of image of what the Color Guard was going to be. And mm-hmm. so in 2015, you know, everybody has their warm-up tops now. You know, when I marched drum corps, we put on our long-sleeved, high-necked, long pants costumes and warmed up. So yeah. by the time, you know, we went on the field in Orlando,
yeah.
it was about three shades darker because you'd sweated
yes.
through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now, which is a nod to the experience of the students mm. that they wear the warm-ups and they've got their tank tops and their shorts or their yeah. leggings or whatever. So, you know, we had one of the little jerseys made that had Delta Diamonds on the front. And to my knowledge, still to this day, they call themselves the Delta Diamonds.
That's now, can you explain to those at home the significance of the Delta?
The Delta is sort of the logo of the Spirit Drum Corps. You'll mm-hmm. find it, whether it's very clear or very abstract within their uniform design. It's all been going to be in their core logo right. forever. And it's just a nod to the South.
The South will rise again, apparently. That's what they've told me.
That's what I keep hearing.
They won't shut up about it. Hey, do you have a cute name for the Rouse Etz, maybe the Rhinestone Rouses?
We don't have a cute nickname yet.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I haven't come. This is my second year there, so it's sort of navigating the waters, trying to find. Each group has a little bit of a different vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they work together or the way that they manage who they are and what they are. Mm-hmm. I haven't come up with a nickname yet.
Well, clock's ticking.
I know.
This would have been the best time for you to debut it. You're on this podcast.
I know. There are
dozens of listeners at home.
Well, and the difference here is that in this area, there are all of the dance teams already.
That's correct.
That have their names. So I don't want to infringe upon any of those. Like, you can't, I don't think you can, I could do any better than the Rouse Royals. Like, what a great name is that?
I was going to ask you what that's name
the,
is.
Yeah, the dance team at Rouse is the Royals. Like, what? I can't.
Please tell me that when they come out on the field, y'all play Royals by Lord, like all the time.
I'll have to tell Jason. No,
well,
they don't.
I don't think he cares. is the plural of Rouse rice?
There's only one Rouse.
But if we are saying like multiple Rouses, is it rice?
I don't think so.
Well, because mice is the plural of mouse.
Yeah. And lice is the plural of louse.
Oh my God.
I don't think so. I think it's just Rouses.
You think?
Can you
that's say
my that's my final answer.
All right. Well, we're gonna guess what? You are wrong. The principal and superintendent, John J. Rouse himself, is here. He's going to tell you you're wrong, that it
okay.
is rice. Jennifer, can I call you Jennifer? I haven't established this yet, but...
You've used all three permutations of the name, so...
If I say Jenny, do you know if it's with an I or a Y? You just assume?
It developed over time. There was a time where I was Jenny with an I with like a heart on top.
Oh my God.
You know, 1992, so 1992.
OG Visco girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of so many ways.
Right.
These kids think they've invented things. Oh, scrunchies, long shirts over your shorts.
Hookah shell necklaces.
You're describing
friendship
my
bracelets.
High school and college experience.
I know, it's like I just...
Oh,
at least we didn't have any silly noises that we made.
That's true. That's true. We were silly.
God we didn't have the internet. I think that's why things are coming back is because
they don't know.
Because we didn't know.
Yeah.
We couldn't look back and become, you know, there wasn't a resurgence of Prohibition era flappers in the 80s. There should have been.
Well,
how great.
Well, I think
is that going to happen next year?
I bet it. You should be
is
ahead
it
of the
be the roaring 20s again?
Oh my God. We're doing. You heard it here first. It's the Roaring 20, the Rouse Roaring 20s.
The roar of Rouse.
Oh, roar. Oh, but you're the Rouse Raiders.
Yes.
Rouse. And I realized that I didn't mention in your long biography that I had to look up my own, that I didn't mention that you also work at James Bowie High School in the southernmost part of Austin, Texas.
Ooh, yes.
That's right. Did you know that I used to work there too?
I did not know that.
It's a long time ago. Do you know what instrument I play, Jennifer, or did?
You're percussion, right?
I am. Yeah. One Mike Bishop a few years ago told me he thought I played saxophone. And I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment, like, oh, I write music so well, you think I play wind instruments, or as a insult, like, what?
My other guess would have been a low brass instrument, like a baritone or trombone.
Well, I don't know how to feel. My brother played trombone.
Okay, then, sibling must have...
I don't understand this. Do I not give off a percussion vibe? Does my ego not tell you that I play percussion or trumpet?
I don't know. Do I seem like a flute player?
That's correct. That's a very...
I think that there are the stereotypes that you look at, especially at students, that, you know, oh, they're definitely a clarinet player. They're definitely, or like an oboe player. I feel
Whenever
those
I see
personalities.
Whenever I see a tall, skinny guy, I assume he plays bassoon, like no matter what, because he looks like a bassoon.
Reach the keys.
Exactly.
That was the worst time in those applied classes at Florida State, that oboe bassoon class. Just, first of all, the noises. I will not say sounds. The noises that I made on those instruments were not appropriate for human consumption. And then painful. Okay. I have mad respect for bassoon players because reaching those keys is crazy. And the legend that I tell people, the way that I remember it, is that our final that we had to play on bassoon was from Peter and the Wolf. And I just remember sitting down and just looking at my professor and telling them that I was just going to do the best that I could do. And it was rough. Double reeds are hard.
There's a reason why all of it sounds awful most of the time. No offense, double reeds. I love you when it's played really, really well.
It's mad respect. Mad respect.
Props. Hey, Jen, how do you start your day?
Oh boy, it really depends. The schedule can get a little variable. So there are some days where today I was fortunate enough, I usually don't, but I slept all the way until my alarm for the first time in a long time. I normally wake up pretty early and then go back to sleep or do some internet consumption as my typical morning where I kind of check out the news. I watch some YouTube videos to kind of see what's going on, or I'll just scroll through. I don't really interact with Facebook that much anymore in terms of posting or my thoughts. I'm too old.
No, I think old people use Facebook as I logged on to Facebook.
Yeah. I think that there are some students that still use it, not a whole lot.
Yeah,
they're on more of that fast fashion.
They're in
disposable,
yeah. Ready to wear. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
That Facebook's a little too slow.
Right.
Ooh,
yes, thank you.
Fancy. Mm-hmm. And then I have to walk my dog, Beauregard.
That's right. I love that Beauregard. Your dog's name is Beauregard. What kind of dog is Beauregard?
He is a Shih Tzu.
Oh.
And I actually, in 1 week, it's our gotcha day.
Correct. Yes.
So we're it's been 1 year.
Oh.
I had a miniature schnauzer for 13 years that passed away last August when I was at DCI, unfortunately. She knew, her and I were, she was my puppy soulmate.
Right.
I think that she knew that I wasn't going to be able to handle her going. So she waited. She got moving out. She got ill in New Orleans. I'd stopped in New Orleans for a few days just to kind of, I never really been there, like have a little vacation on the way. Mm-hmm. And she got sick in New Orleans. I had to take her to the vet, to the ICU. Mm-hmm. And then she perked back up. And then 2 weeks later, when I had left for DCI, she was gone. And I was like, you know, I need to take a little break.
Sure.
And one of my students from Pacific Crest, I had been like dabbling and looking at dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there are several of us that just go on the rescue sites or actually go. And because, you know, dogs are the best.
They are.
Dogs are
truly the best.
And I had inquired about a few, you know, there's a Schnauzer rescue that's down in Houston that I'd looked at. Mm-hmm. And nothing ever quite panned out. Someone had gotten them already. And then Janice had posted a picture that I'd seen on social media somewhere that she's holding up this little gray ball of fur. Mm-hmm. It's the most adorable little squishy face.
Yeah,
if you know Shih Tzus, they're little squishy faces. And he was about the same size. My old dog's name was Bunny. Aww. And he was about the same size, same colors. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what's the story with this dog? And they were moving to an apartment that they couldn't keep. They're young, 20, 21,
right.
And they couldn't keep him. And so we met down east of Houston, pardon me, and picked him up. And he sat in the car, and it's been an adventure because he's a mouthy little diva. Bunny was quiet.
Right.
Bo is so mouthy, but he is just a good cuddle bug, and we have a good time.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. What inspires you?
I knew that this question was coming because I've been listening to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, really?
Thank you.
Friend of the podcast, Jen Barton.
To try to prepare. And
I've changed questions though.
Okay, well this one you haven't changed.
Correct. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I was thinking about it, and in terms of inspire, I try to walk around the world open to experiences as much as possible. I love the Buddhist Enzo, the logo that has that unfinished paintbrush circle that allows you to sort of be open to everything. So I'm always trying to intake interesting things, whether it is, I love being in downtown Austin because there are little spots, hidden spots that have artwork or graffiti or something beautiful or
paper, a plastic bag, if you will.
Right. Or, you know, leftovers from the night before.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds so basic to say everything, but I'm much more inspired visually through things that I see out and about, or I love to, one of my favorite things to watch, I don't know if this is inspiring or calming. There's a bakery called Haley Cakes that's down on South Lamar. I am obsessed with watching her frost her cookies or ice her cookies. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful. And I can't understand in my brain how her hand is so steady to make the designs that she has. You should absolutely go check it out to see. I mean, it's so intricate and so detailed. Seeing that sort of craftsmanship is always something that's very inspiring, that level of detail and the level of care that you take in your product. I love that too. And I love listening to music. I love listening and going deep when I'm doing my research for WinterGuard soundtracks, just going into that YouTube or Spotify hole of pick this song and then, you know, go to radio and see what else is on there, or just let YouTube autoplay or videos. If you like this, you'll like this, and just go and go and go and go and go and go and just listen to what people are listening to, what other people are creating, and where their point of view, how their voice comes across. I love that.
Wow. You've described so many Austin-y things. It's almost like you were meant to be an Austinite.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. But you don't live in Austin, do you?
I live in Cedar Park.
Thank you.
But it's very, very close. When you're driving down 183, when I'm coming home from work, you pass the sign that says Austin City Limits. I get my mail and all of my utilities and stuff from Cedar Park.
I just want to clarify.
I'm in that sort of Venn diagram of I could say both. I live in Cedar Park.
Thank you. On this podcast, you say where you get your mail from.
Okay, Cedar Park.
Let's be real here. Jen, what is one thing you'd really like to master?
I would love to master baking.
Oh.
I also enjoy watching the Great British Baking Show, or Bake Off, however. And I am just completely dumbfounded by the items that they're able to create. And I say this because my mother makes the world's best chocolate chip cookies. And if you...
Tifty.
She makes the world's best chocolate chip cookies. I don't know if it's because it's made with her love. I don't know. She's an incredible baker, and that's sort of part of our family history. Great-great-grandparents had a bakery on the side of their house in Indianapolis, and it's part of our kind of our German family heritage. And she gave me the recipe for the cookies and even the alterations she makes. You know, you follow the basic Nestlé Toulouse recipe, as Phoebe Buffay pronounces it. Nestlé Toulouse, one of those.
Sounds about right. I don't watch Friends. I don't like it. Hot take.
No.
Yeah.
Sad.
How I Met Your Mother's a better version.
Ross is kind of a mess. But anyway, the alterations from the recipe, and I make it exactly like she says.
Yeah.
I diligently measure out the baking soda and the baking powder, and they never come out right. They never come out looking like hers do. And this is in multiple apartments. So you can blame it on the oven.
I was going to say maybe it's the water, but no.
Different states, different places, they never come out right. And it just, follow the instructions and the result should happen. So maybe it is her love
it's
that
love.
Makes the difference.
It's love.
I do love the cookies, though.
I would have loved to tried one this morning. Thank you for not bringing any. Jennifer, what is your favorite cuisine to cook?
Wow.
Yeah, you thought you were ready for this.
Hard-hitting
This is everyone wants to know these things. They don't want to know about spinning.
My favorite cuisine to cook, I would have to say probably Italian. That making the sauces or assembling all of the... those are the flavors that bring me comfort. And because, you know, cheese...
Ooh, I like cheese as well.
But the basil flavor, the oregano flavor, all of that, it's like a big hug.
Oh, that's nice. What's been the most rewarding project thus far in your career? Yeah. Pow, 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 pow.
Whoa.
Whoa. What was the sound effect?
I kind of did it as a pan, too, going across. So that'll be some ear candy for people.
We can ASMR.
I think.
Usually I cut this stuff out, but I think people want to hear how you're wrestling with this.
Yeah. There have been so many incredible experiences. Can I choose two? One as a performer and one as a teacher?
You may.
Okay,
I will
thank
allow
you.
It.
Thank you. For me, I think the Crown Guard, as you yelled.
Well, it is exclamation.
Yeah.
Crown Guard.
All caps, yeah.
Brass.
So 2009, when Adam Sage brought the Crown Winter Guard back out, that team of people, that was a really big labor of love. That show was so beautiful and such a joy to perform. And I had not marched in a few years, and I was 28 years old, and I decided that I was like, I need one more time in the arena. And it was a big range of ages of people that were marching together. So it was a volatile little family. And we went through some struggles and we went through a lot of challenges over the course of the season. But by the end, I mean, those folks still to this day, we all communicate with each other quite a bit. And when we see each other, it's really a family reunion. And that at the age that I was actually a band director in Atlanta at that time and marching that Winter Guard. And it was really, really hard. And I gained so much just personally from being a part of that, not only just performing, but just as a person as well. That was such a cool experience. It's like choosing your favorite kid because I've had such amazing experiences. Well,
everyone wants to know that are in fact the most rewarding project. So you said that as a performer. What about as a teacher? Oh my God, you've got like 20 years of things. Well,
yeah. Well, and I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to say Spirit 2015. That was my first year as a caption head, and I was incredibly anxious about doing that job for the first time. And being a caption head is very hard. It's a lot. And when you're balancing, you know, your home programs and your home teaching and some of the other like choreography or design work, it's hard to give everything that you want to give. Mm-hmm. But the team of people that I had with me working together is a really special group of people. And that group of students was incredible. I think for all of the groups I was caption head with, we've got a Facebook page just to get everybody together. Because it's only been in the last couple of years where it's like, I don't have a Facebook. Like, I don't understand.
The kids.
It's such an easy way to kind of communicate and post videos or to make things happen. There are much better apps now about, you know, for video assignments or things like that. But that group of students and instructors communicates more frequently because of those relationships that were built that summer. And that too was a summer of struggle and challenges along the road that we had to overcome. And, you know, not even the anxiety of doing a great job as a caption head, but just as the drum corps as a whole. And we went through a lot of experiences together and came out on the other side. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience with those guys.
What show was 2015?
That was Out of the Ashes.
Out of the Ashes. Mm-hmm. Right on. What is your most prized material possession?
I knew this one was coming too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So like the item I use most frequently or my most prized?
If there was a fire and you've grabbed your dog, Beauregard, what else are you grabbing?
I don't know if there's anything I would. I have Bunny's ashes.
Oh.
That are in my living room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I can't choose one. I am so high fidelity, top five. Like I have top five things.
Sure.
So Bunny's ashes. And then I have some of my father's, he was a land surveyor in Indianapolis. And I have some of his original drawings that he did of the Platts downtown and in the surrounding areas. I have some of his drawings.
Right. Okay.
I would grab probably both of those things.
Yeah. Well, you got two hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it.
What is something about color guarding that you didn't expect as a teacher, as a designer, choreographer?
It's so much of a moving target from year to year to year of how you tackle the content, how you tackle the technical knowledge. There are some years that this goes easy and then the next year it doesn't go easy at all. And how much you have to adapt what you're bringing as the director or instructor or designer that you can't foresee. Like there are some years that just in a basic microcosm, there are some years that I teach a breathing exercise as one of our movement basics. Mm-hmm. There are some years where the kids just, it goes and it's easy and it happens. And then the next year it's like, you have to really break down and find a new pathway. There's not a standard tried and true answer to any of the approaches, I think. And I think that's fair in all of the arts venues is that, you know, maybe one year your band is just like rocking on articulation exercises and the next year you're constantly talking about how to make this note shape or how you end this. Every group again is just a little different in what their strengths are. So finding those ways to leverage the content knowledge to support everything. That's been a fun game, a fun like little puzzle to undo every year. It's kind of like a little Rubik's Cube that you have to just, you keep trying and you keep shifting and you keep rotating until you find the thing that works.
Now, a Rubik's Cube is a toy that came out in the 80s where you try to get all the colors
together. We are so vintage right now.
Oh my God, so vintage. Jenny B, what can't you live without?
Coffee.
Yeah, that's a common answer among folks.
Coffee.
just black with sugar, or the one
you did the one that
your,
I have
your kombucha coffee or whatever you're drinking? I don't know.
No, my mascara.
There we go. Tower.
Oh, I can't live without mascara.
Oh, Mascaro. Brett Mascaro. Mm-hmm. Is that the name of the judge?
Yeah.
I think it's Brett. Yeah. Shout out to Brett Mascaro. Listen to the podcast. Jen, what is the last piece of music you listened to?
Like an instrumental piece of music or just music in general?
I literally just said music.
Okay, well, I just want to give the correct answer. Am listening to Julia Michaels right now. So I think the last song that played in my car before, this was yesterday, was her song called The Worst in Me. She's playing in Austin Friday night, and I'm going to the show. So I'm just kind of brushing myself back up on her music.
You're getting ready for it. Wow.
And before that, before I was into Julia Michaels, I was putting Lizzo on rotation because...
Makes sense.
You know.
Yeah. H to the Lizzo.
Yeah.
All right. This is the big one. It's my favorite question. It's become my favorite question. When did you realize that you were good or that you knew what you were doing?
Never.
What, really?
Yeah. I guess maybe good. I won't say that I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Do any of us know what we're doing?
Well, we keep getting hired.
I think that we're thoughtful and we work really hard, or at least I try to be thoughtful and do my research and work really hard.
Sure.
I think the biggest time was in 2013. It would have been with the Burns Winter Guard. We did a Mumford & Sons show. We did The Only Son. Mm. And Chris Moss is my best friend, and he and I built that Burns program up into what it is. And that year, we were fifth in Scholastic Open. Mm-hmm. And the show was just, it was an audience pleaser. It was a competitive pleaser. And watching the kids perform was just kind of like, oh, wow, we made this thing happen. This mm-hmm. is crazy. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the first time we'd made world championship finals a few times before that, but it was just kind of like, well, aw shucks, we're happy to be here. Like, are you sure?
Right.
And you know, in 2009 was our first time doing it, but I was still living in Atlanta. So I was commuting back and forth to teach on the weekends and Friday nights and stuff.
Sure.
So I wasn't necessarily integral to mm-hmm. that program, but that was the first sort of like, okay, this is cool. We made that. Sure. All right. So yeah, that would be the experience. I think.
Now, Chris Moss?
Yes.
Is his name?
Christopher.
Now, how will Benjamin Potts feel about you not saying he's your best friend or whatever?
I don't know. He's probably going to Marco Polo me about it here shortly.
Is he really? Well,
I don't know.
This isn't live, Jen. They aren't
when
at home
he hears
listening.
It, he's going to Marco Polo. So, we've already exchanged Marco.
It is Wednesday, October 16th, 10:53 a.m. Central Standard Time. You heard it here first, Ben. You are not Jen Martin's dearest, most bestest friend.
We're best friends on Marco.
Oh, is he the guy that would always Marco you during the Taking the Field episodes?
Yeah. I have a few Marco dabblers, but he's your
Marco husband?
Yeah.
Who is your favorite designer of all time? Show, music, drill, visual, color guard, etc. Yeah, you didn't know about this.
This is like choosing your favorite dog.
Well, yeah. It was choosing your favorite kid, and now
it's
this dog.
Upgraded.
It's even worse.
Yeah, it's upgraded. Rough. I've been so super fortunate to be around, like to work with and to be taught by and to be involved with so many incredible, like I don't, it's hard
yeah,
for me
get
to
it.
Process.
You don't want to offend anybody.
No, I don't want to offend anybody, but I have to pick.
Yeah, just my one.
Favorite.
Literally just one. Here we go. Here we go.
My favorite.
Everyone's on pins and needles waiting to hear them hear you say their name.
Oh my gosh. Making me choose.
It's it starts with a D-A.
I think in terms of color guard, Adam Sage is always going to be my favorite. Oh. I loved being taught by him. I've had a lot of formative experiences with my instructors, the way, especially because I'm like, flag is my jam, my thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the way that he choreographs and writes with a flag mm-hmm. is changed my life of how I see things and how I move things. Wow. In terms of, Myron Rosander was such a huge mm-hmm, mm-hmm. mana to my soul when I marched at Vanguard. And I didn't necessarily interact with him so much, except for like the whole drum corps. But those moments and the life lessons that he taught, not through his design, but just him as a person, mm-hmm. I'll choose him just for his philosophy, not mm-hmm. necessarily for marching, his staging was incredible, but the voice that he was for the Vanguard was life-changing.
Yeah. How hard is it to win?
Incredibly. I don't, does anybody even have an answer for how to win?
I asked the Patriots. I don't know. Yeah, they cheat.
Yankees.
Oh, well, so they're not.
I guess you have to be from New England, huh?
I guess, yeah. Or you just have to cheat and videotape.
Well, and then you have, then, I mean, we can continue on the philosophical discussion of what it means to win.
Oh my God, jeez. You know what? We know you're smart, Jennifer. You've got a music ed degree. You play flute. You use big words.
I'm not like
other color guard teachers.
Oh my God.
If we could have recorded everything you said before we started just about how much better you are than everyone else because you can
Daniel Montoya.
You can sell clothes. You know how to do stats.
I didn't work in a clothing store.
Well, Foot Locker's like
shoes, is it?
Well, shoes,
apparel.
Apparel, retail.
Much better at selling bubbles.
Bubbles and beads. Mm-hmm. Anyone know that store? My mom. So how hard is it to win? Just let's put it in the context of what we define as normally winning.
Competitive winning.
Yeah.
Competitive winning.
Not like we all, and at the end of the year, we realize that
we're all winners in life.
We were what was the champion. We're all the trophies. No. Like, I want to win.
Winners in life.
How hard is it to win? BOA, WGI, TCGC, SCID. G, N, S, N, C, I, S, whatever.
All the forums have such a different dynamic to it, right? So, you know, of course, I was in the high school band that won Grand Nationals in 1995.
Humble brag.
But that, I mean, well, that's the, aside from like regionals or circuit championships or whatever, like that's, you know, that's the win, capital letters, right? I was 14. I was just like, oh, we're going to play our show again? Oh, cool. Cool. I'm gonna stand by this eagle and take it. Cool. All right.
And that this picture is glorious, Jennifer.
A 14-year-old Jennifer with like the world's most awful haircut.
What is funny to me, and I mean this in the best way possible, is you look older in that picture than you do literally sitting in front of me right now.
It's amazing what learning how to pluck your eyebrows and like straighten your hair can do for you.
Did your mom not say anything to you about your hairstyle?
My parents were just kind of let me be. They let Jen be Jen and find her way.
Yeah. You know what? That's the best any parent can really do.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, she didn't just go, now Jenny. Because I imagine her having a Southern accent.
Well, I mean, she does. She's from East St. Louis, so not really. Different kind of accent.
East St. Louis is famous from National Lampoon's Vacation as they were driving and they stopped. I can't repeat the conversation. But you should look up the scene when Chevy Chase and the family, the Griswolds, go through East St. Louis.
The Griswolds.
You have a nice side, what is it called?
A braid.
A braid.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm learning so much today.
This is my standard hairdo pretty
it
much.
It is. That I imagine, well, what you're wearing, what I associate with you, it's a shawl, if you will. A tank top of sorts. Uh-huh. I can't tell.
Yes.
And then
tank top that has Anthony Bourdain on it.
Anthony Bourdain. Mm-hmm. Wow. Tons of bracelets, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know,
from DCI 1999.
What was it? Mid-80s, Midwestern? Yeah, that's pretty much what my go-to look is.
Well, it's so fresh here in the Austin area. Yeah. And we're currently in Austin proper. Mm-hmm. So, yes. 95. Yeah. Anyway, I don't mean to derail it, but you look like you're 14 is what I'm saying.
Oh,
congratulations.
Wow.
And you look like you were 35 in that picture.
Oh, wow.
I'm just
That's
kidding.
That's crazy. It's the uniform.
Is your mom going to listen to this?
I'm sure she's going to.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I don't mean to pick on you, Mama. Mama Barton?
Yes.
Mama Barton.
Yes.
Oh.
Winning, to get us back on track.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad one of us can.
There is a magic behind it, and I think a lot of people would tell you that there has to be this connection between all of the moving parts, right? So you've got to have a great design. If we're talking about the marching arts.
Sure. Okay. Pageantry.
Yeah. Well, you have the design has to be great.
Mm-hmm.
The design has to be appealing. There can't be anything in the wrong place. The colors, the costuming, the staging. There has to be incredible teaching going on, and it has to have the right mix of the students, particularly with student leadership. I think that's one of the things that really is the secret to those competitively successful groups where the unrelenting standard is held up. You know, it's one thing when the staff does it, right? Yeah. We're gonna have the pedal to the metal all the time. Right. But having different expectations as the performer, that conflict can be a challenge. So when everything just sort of clicks, you know, and then it happens. I don't know. Everybody plans to win, right?
Possibly.
Do we sit down and have staff meetings and we're like, all right, what's gonna be just like middle of the road?
Yeah.
And maybe you do. I think that every ensemble has a different market, I guess would be the word we would use, right?
And it's back to what you said, winning is different to everybody else. Right. Like some people, I want to make finals. Yeah. I want to win finals. I want to whatever. So yeah, it's different. Yeah, it's lightning in a bottle. You're kind of describing that. I think this past year, 2018, Vista Ridge was that example where they have been successful concert band and marching band, sometimes missing finals, sometimes making finals, and then just this confluence of events. And you could see the show from a mile away blossoming. And I think going into state, you're like, I think they're going to win state marching contest. Well, and then they did.
and it was incredible to watch that performance live. I mean, that was my first UIL experience.
Oh, you're welcome.
Was watching it in... I was blown away. I was blown away by how special that performance was.
It really was. And one of the things about that performance that stuck out, and I don't know if you know this, Jennifer, but I was one of the broadcasters for the state marching contest.
Oh, yes. Wait, I remember. Yeah, weren't you down on the field doing interviews with people?
Come on.
I remember the glasses.
I like talking to people. The electronics didn't work.
In finals?
The synthesizer. Yeah, and the saddest thing is you see the performer, and she is visibly upset.
Despondent.
However... you heard the soloists better than you ever did, just because, you know, it's the dome, a wash of electronics, and great, good thing is they won state, so she couldn't just think that it was her fault if they didn't win state. But it was just amazing to hear everything, because, you know, it's almost like, well, no, everyone shut up. We're going to play the solos. It was great. It was fantastic. It was great on the field. It was great on the stands. And
Yeah,
you kind of knew. You kind of knew, like, this is what's going to happen.
Well, and what I took away from that, watching the instrumentalists, their visual prowess was off the charts.
Yeah.
Just and not necessarily like the challenge of what they were doing. They had great content, but the precision and the accuracy and the similarity performer to performer, incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. It was magic that happened last year. And it's so very hard to maintain. Like you can name a handful of bands that have maintained this greatness.
Yeah.
And even after a while, you're just like, I can't do it anymore for whatever reason.
Or just, you know, the team, somebody gets a job somewhere else, or, you know, someone decides that they're retiring or they want to go do something else. Right. And it's as much as you can try, it's just not the same combination. You know, I always think about the Blue Devils. They've been, you know, it's just like perennial. That team of people has been at the top of the game for so long. And, you know, the lightning in the bottle strikes someone else from time to time.
Sure.
But they're still there, and they're still creating amazing products. Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen when Scott decides that, you know, he wants to go do something different, or like how that's going to, because there's so many proteges and there's so many people in that area that are ready to step up. And but that the magic that he creates and the magic that team creates is just truly impressive for the longevity.
I'm pretty sure Systems Blue has figured out a way to upload their like brains into.
So they've got the Matrix. Is that what you're saying? The Blue Devils are great because they have the Matrix. They just lay down in a chair.
Yep. Death Taxes and the Blue Devils. Who is one designer, performer, or teacher that we should be listening to right now?
Oh, wow. And I'm biased because this is another one of my very, very best friends. David Crook is...
You hear that, Ben Potts? She did not mention you for the second time.
Don't get Ben angry. You won't like Ben when he's angry.
Is that true? He might put together a very finely executed video with wonderful audio.
Could be.
And he might beat us with his Emmy. Doesn't he have an Emmy?
He's three of them.
Oh great. One for you, one for me, and one to just make sure we're both dead.
Yeah, just so... keep the coffin lid shut, I suppose. David is, we met teaching at Spirit, and he was involved with the Onyx team for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And he was at Lawrence Central working with Michael Lentz. And now he's in his third year at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And his voice and the way he teaches and just his personality and energy, any project that I get to work on, he helped me a lot at Burns as well. I bring him into a lot of my projects to work together, and he's brought me into Ben Davis to work with them. His voice and his design aesthetic, my favorite word, aesthetic. Design, aesthetic, both of them together.
Oh my God.
He has incredible things ahead of him. He's really elevated that Ben Davis program there in Scholastic Open. Mm. They should be world-class very, very soon with his work, and his assistant, Kevin Salinas, both of them are just awesome.
And his name is David, what again?
David Crook.
Crook. Okay, I was going to say David Cross, as we may know from Arrested Development, Tobias Fuqua, the world's first analrapist, as it were.
What?
He's an analysis.
A
therapist and a anyway, it's fine. Jen.
Yes.
If not banned, what else would you be doing?
I think about this a lot.
Do you? Because you're going to quit every day.
No, I'm not going to quit every day. But you know, you have those fantastical moments where you're just kind of like, what else would I be doing?
Yeah.
So you go back to like elementary school or high school or whenever, when you're kind of like pondering your future. Mm-hmm. And there's two things that I always wanted to do. And one of them was short-lived because I had a really amazing calculus teacher in high school. I wanted to be a math teacher. I almost went to college to be a math teacher.
Wow.
And then the other one will be a lawyer.
Oh, what kind of lawyer?
I was never super sure about it, but I would be involved in the copyright law.
You know, yeah. We need people. You would be on our side, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we need someone to
of course
go to bat for the little guy. Yeah, I think you'd be a good lawyer. I'd listen to you if I was a juror. I'd go, yeah, that girl's right. Hang him. Wait, no, that's not
good. Wait.
Now, aside from being across from me right now, when have you felt most starstruck?
Starstruck. I can't remember. It must have been 2014, the winter of 2014. And this ties into a previous topic we were just talking about at the Atlanta WGI Regionals. Chris had left Burns to teach at Pendleton, and I was running the guard program on my own for the first year. Okay. And we went to that regional. The kids were great. We went in and did the critique process, and I came out and I met Scott Chandler for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's the one moment that I really feel like I was just like, I'm like when you get peanut butter and it's like, I can't form words right now. Yeah. And having that conversation with him, he was very positive and encouraging and a complimentary of the program. And hearing those words from him was definitely a huge, like, the moment.
If you had been on social media, you would have like humble brag, so blessed, honored.
I think I did. I'd have to scroll back in time and see. But that moment was pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. I haven't really met any like actual like
stars.
U.S. world celebrities. Starstruck.
Have you ever met President? What's his name from Gaffney, South Carolina? He passed away. His wife killed him.
What is his name?
Underwood.
Underwood. President Frank Underwood.
Frank Underwood from.
I have not, but I have driven past that Gaffney Peach about 7 million times. So
it's real, huh?
It is real, and they repaint it, and it's really wild when they repaint it because they like cover it and all this stuff. So you can't really see the peach, but I mean, it's got like the divot and it's got the little tip and the leaf. It's pretty magic.
This is a clean podcast, Jennifer. Do you remember your first memorable DCI, BOA, WGI moment?
As a spectator or as a performer?
Whatever.
You have to be more specific.
Well, like, if someone asked me that question, I would talk about the first time I saw the Madison Scouts in 1993.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't be like, oh, or some people might be like for you growing up, Center Grove is a nationally known program. So maybe you saw them in middle school, like, I want to be in that. But maybe it's, you saw the big boys at WGI or DCI.
Well, I think that honestly, it wouldn't be high school band. That was just sort of a natural progression. Like I joined the middle school band and it was just assumed you're going to go be in the marching band. I was like, okay, cool. So I didn't really necessarily know about it. Now, my uncle was very involved with the Lawrence Central. He was a band director at Lawrence Central. It was a very much like figure your life out in my family. So it's like, we're not going to push anything on you. You're going to find what you're interested in. So it wasn't like you're going to be in the marching band. So I play the flute, so we did that. Yeah. But I do remember, I very specifically, now that you led me to it,
you're welcome.
Still, I've got a third of my coffee left.
Yeah,
so we're not,
by the time you finish,
we're about
this podcast is over.
75% brain power right now. In Indiana, they show the Indiana State Finals marching band competition on the public broadcasting system. Yeah. So on Thanksgiving, they'll show, you know, the four classes. And it must have been my freshman year. It must have been. Mm-hmm. And we watched it because we are a band nerd family. And like all of us are, both of my brothers were in band. My parents volunteered all the time. Mm-hmm. It's been such a huge part of our family experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a class ends and we go to like eat or whatever. And my mom, I think it was my mom. It was either my mom or my dad. She's like, there's still band on TV. I'm like, what? So we come back in, and then right after they finished ISMA, they started showing DCI.
Oh.
And that was the first time that I had seen drum corps, because we didn't talk about it a whole lot at Center Grove, even though most of the staff were star people.
Sure.
They didn't talk about it a whole lot to us. So I started watching. I was like, what is this? What is going on? This is crazy. And I remember watching Santa Clara and Phantom on that. And that was sort of what led me to discover more things about the different components of the marching arts, especially in DCI.
Yeah. Another positive about public broadcasting.
Right.
Yeah. But we should get rid of it. Hey, who is someone you're dying to work with? Yeah. Everyone now is like, well, please say my name, Jen.
Oh, my gosh.
Say my name.
I have always, because I my strengths, I feel, lie in like the teaching side of things or the technical side of things. And I've never met her. And this is the big, like, I need to do this. TJ Doucette at the Blue Devils.
Oh, okay.
The technician, the mama technician for them. I am dying to work with her.
Ooh.
Just to, I not even work with her, to sit and watch her run a block. Because the level she gets those performers to is crazy. And I would sit, you know, when I'm teaching Pacific Crest or we're done or we're walking by, like I just would stop and watch how she teaches and how she looks and analyzes and the things that she says in response to any errors or corrections. She's an encyclopedia of knowledge, and I would love to work with her.
You heard it here. Give Jenny B a call. What item would you die to get your hands on if it went up for auction?
What item?
It was the quietest it's been.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I haven't ever even thought of this before.
That you come to this podcast for the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. What an auction.
Yeah. If there's something in history, even if it's not like a big well-known thing, if you're like, I wish I had the spear that killed Will Pitts in the Phantom Regiment show. And that's a true story.
Who doesn't
that's a true
wish
story.
For that? Who doesn't wish for that?
Will Pitts, if we will remember, listeners from Taking the Field will remember that Will Pitts moved to California to pursue a career in acting. Yes, his stage name is Billiam Pitts now.
Billion Pitts.
No, Billiam. But that's the thing is
William Billion.
William that's, Billion. Yeah. Billiam Pitts.
That's when you know that you're the reliable box office star when you have that. Alliteration,
you
middle heard it. Name.
You also hear her first. Yes. Will Pitts, come on the show.
We've just given you a nickname, so.
You're welcome. Please send the checks to Jenny Barton at StarbucksBarista.com.
Reformed. Starbucks Barista. I can't think of anything, Daniel.
You don't, there's nothing in life that you want?
Well,
Judy Garland's Ruby Red Slippers?
That would, well.
Is probably, that a, I didn't mean a stereotype,
honestly,
a color guard person.
Well, or like a redhead that was Dorothy for 6 Halloweens in a row.
Why didn't I see any of those pictures?
I don't think I have any. Mother, do not send
Mama
them.
Mama Barton?
Do not do it.
Sketchbookpodcast@gmail.com.
Do not do it. Do not do it. I already shared the picture of me.
It is the best picture in the world.
It's the worst picture
in the
world.
I might change the cover photo of this podcast.
Please don't. Please don't. That would probably be the only thing that I could think of.
The ruby red slippers.
Wow. Or the Wicked Witch broom.
Ooh.
I might get more use out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're...
I love The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's not where we're going to go with that one? Okay. I wasn't going to say because you're a witch. That's not at all what
no,
I was going
to say. No, I would never believe that.
Who are some of your heroes and inspirations?
You're
the
killing
face
me.
You just
you're killing
made.
Me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, pinch poke, you owe me a Coke?
You owe me a coffee.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I mean, to say, I yeah, it's quiet. Just, well, I wish I would have...
What,
gotten these questions ahead of time so I could speak without going, oh my gosh, I have no idea.
I don't want you to come in and go like, oh, that's such an excellent question, Daniel. Thank you. Like, no, I want spur of the moment, Jen.
Yeah,
like,
no, oh, for sure. Wow. This is not me ogling for a raise.
Oh, you have two
hands
choices
down.
Here. Uh-oh. Both people are
Jason,
waiting.
Jason Rob.
Buell Rob.
Yeah. Working with him has completely transformed my teaching abilities and process.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a little bit of the Texas race here too, of the time and the, you know, going out every single weekend against the best bands in the country.
Sure.
The demand level that's put on that, mm-hmm. the way that the energy and the passion that he brings to every day, and the way more specifically that the planning that goes into what's going on really opened up my eyes to how to work more efficiently mm-hmm. and more weightily with what
Italian
every day,
yeah,
some Italian, Chevella. it's really taken me to a new level of my teaching that I didn't know that I was going to be able to get to. You know, I was at Burns for a really long time, and having that, it was a scary moment when the time to leave there and come out here and do a new adventure happened. And I've really been transformed by working with him and in that program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow. You heard it here first, Jason. Jen wants a raise.
Again, I'm not ogling for a raise.
But you wouldn't, turn one down.
I wouldn't turn, well, who would? And who would turn one down?
You pay me too much.
Please stop. Please stop giving me paychecks.
Yes, yes. Jennifer.
Daniel.
What's your worst habit?
Overanalyzing. Or overthinking.
Oh, well, you just corrected it because you were overanalyzing your answer.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That works.
Yeah.
You look like you are. For those who don't know what Jennifer looks like at home right now, she looks like that meme of the woman who's thinking and all the math signs uh-huh. are going around her. That's what she looks like.
Or the meme. My favorite meme currently is my brain has 18 tabs open, 2 are frozen, and there's music playing from 1 and I can't figure it out. That's kind of where I am in the midst of Bantober.
Wow. Bantober. Mm-hmm. Octoband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Describe
I like Octoband better.
You know that one?
It sounds like a Transformers villain.
Octoband Unite. Please don't sue me.
That's what we do at our different school district jamborees or festival of bands.
Festival
Octoband.
Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I took part in Jamboree. Nice. Yes. Jamboree used to be at the Longhorn Stadium back in the day. I'm an AISD.
At the Texas Stadium?
Yes. They used to have turf. Many people won't remember this, but UT Longhorns used to not be good. and so they were giving tickets away to the football games every year. Like, yeah. I got free tickets. And then they had Jamboree, which, guess what, took place after UIL. It was like at the end of the year. So you didn't just show up with like 4 minutes of your show in September. Like, so.
Well, there's a fair point to
and
that, I suppose.
Area in state marching contests, maybe, but area for sure took place at the Memorial Stadium. Yeah. Like, playing in Longhorn Stadium was not a big deal.
Wow.
I did it 4 times.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's the Indiana equivalent of the Dome or the Luke.
The Luke or the oil can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You do not like people calling Lucas Oil the oil can.
No.
You call it the
oil
Luke.
Oil cans are dirty.
Yeah, but Luke, I am your father. Yes. Yeah, I guess that works, but.
Or you have a date with the Luke.
I see. Or I'll see you with the oil can.
But then. You're going to need like Dawn dish soap afterwards.
I think hundreds of Indiana Knights, Indianans mm-hmm. are going to be listening to this. And I'd love for them to write into the show and let us know. Do you prefer the Luke or the oil can? All right. Yeah. All right. Describe your style of teaching or design.
Oh, wow. Style of teaching is definitely high velocity, I would say. I really try to personally move around a lot to keep a high energy in my voice, to try, like, my goal is to pick every single thing I can see it. And Jason and I were just talking about this yesterday of like, do you ever feel like you set goals for yourself for rehearsals or days and you constantly are falling short from the goals that you set for yourself? You're like, yeah, let's get overplan tasks. It's like I over enthusiastically try to mm-hmm. get as much information to students as possible. And sometimes I do think that it can get to a detriment. I love information. I love the analysis. I tend to teach with the why of the technique, if that makes any sense. So talking about the physics or why we want your hand to be in a certain place mm-hmm. on the equipment because of how the ratio of the weight works. And, you know, I talk about science and math a lot teaching color guard nerding. No, I readily wave that flag above my head, literally wave my flag. So there's definitely the why of things and incredibly as high energy as I possibly can.
Mm, that's a good answer.
Yeah. In terms of design, I mean, I don't do a whole lot of design anymore. I used to. I mean, I write choreography. And I'm more of a manager, I suppose, of any design work that happens with my ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
So more of what I do is the collating the inspirational content, if that makes any sense. Oh. So, you know, for example, the show at Rouse that we're doing, the Midnight City show, which
in
has
Garden
this
of Evil. Yeah.
Where the streets have no name.
Mm-hmm. Red-Hilled Town.
Right. Figuring out the time period and then getting the photos together. Like, it's information-based. So accumulating as much information as possible, then editing out to find the right one and to direct where we need to go.
You seem like you'd be a good event planner.
That would be super fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like that.
You should do that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do Color Guard, right. But, you know, that's it. Jason, she's quitting right now. Newsflash.
Oh, no.
What's your life's motto? You make the best reaction faces, by the way. I wish somebody had hired us to like do a television show or something.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, you know.
Although, I don't know if I made this many faces. Maybe a few.
Not on camera.
On that imaginary show that we did.
Yeah, the one that I film in my living room. It's like Kramer. I just bought a TV set and we film a show in my living room.
That would be good. Wow. My life's motto. Everything is going to be a derivative of what someone else has said. And no, I'm not going to say live, laugh, love, Karen.
You're going to say be kind?
Well, I mean, it's
just
like, it's to create a motto. I have never thought about creating a motto because you try to go through every, you want, like work hard.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Listen to people.
Sure.
Treat people with kindness, respect, empathy.
Mm.
Huge empath.
Right, right.
And be fabulous.
I like that one. Be fabulous. That one's much better.
As much as you can.
We're going to go with that one.
Okay.
What advice would you offer to your 18-year-old self?
Well, my 18-year-old self was a mess. I have very specific information to offer to her.
Oh, my God.
Very specific. Figure out how to use your bank account and your credit card and how to balance your checkbook. Because I still even struggle with my financial planning of my life. And it's something that, you know, I talk to my students a lot about, you know, mm-hmm. they talk about writing checks and
what are checks?
And what are checks? Or like how to address an envelope or what these percentage rates and how student loans work. I'm like, you're just kind of like, I need to go to school. Uh-huh. We can't pay for it all. So this is,
that's how you do it.
Right. Yeah. I had no idea how much that was going to impact
mm-hmm.
my future.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So that would be like, make sure you read that fine print, make sure you ask questions and make sure that it is manageable. But that was, you know, when I was 18, that was, you know, 1999 into 2000
mm-hmm.
and not to get like crazy about things, but when September 11th happened, you know, that sort of changed it. It impacted my family and my father's work, and it changed sort of the socioeconomic scale of the country.
Right.
And so even if I knew before then, it would still require some
sure.
relearning afterwards, because yeah. it's a whole different landscape after that.
Life skills.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing. So what's next for Jenny B?
Well, we've got 3 more weeks left of marching band season. So that's the finish line, you
yeah.
know, the end of the marathon where you run through with your arms in the air through the ticker tape.
Yep. Yep.
And right now,
yeah.
Oh, don't worry. It will happen for sure.
Very good.
Right
good.
At the exit gate of the Alamo Dome.
It's
going to run out.
Yes.
So the speed has for sure picked up. The intensity has picked up and the fight has picked up for both of the teams. Yeah, it is a fight. The last 3 weeks, it feels like you've been in the season forever.
It has been.
And then all of a sudden, it's just going to, you're like, 3 weeks left.
Yeah, UIL.
Oh, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. So the intensity has come up, and then we shift pretty much immediately into the winter guard season with both teams.
You don't do what Marching Health has said and give more time between marching band
and
indoor
drum color guard trials? I'm giving as much time off as possible. Well, when you're working with a conglomerate of people on a team
yes.
that are from different states and have other teams as mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. This is probably another topic for another day about how the modern marching landscape has changed now that people work with so many different groups. You know, the days of drum corps are gone where it's like you have the same staff that's just on the road for 3 months. That
right,
doesn't, you
yeah.
know, in and out and in and out. So, no, there's for sure going to be rest time off.
Mm-hmm.
The show design process starts, the creation of the show starts.
Yeah.
And then there's Thanksgiving, which is great.
Mm.
And then I will start doing, I think that second to last, right after Thanksgiving, I'll be attending some Phantom Regiment camps.
Wait, what?
I am going to be working on their visual staff this summer.
Visual or color guard staff?
Visual staff.
Wait, hold on. So you can play an instrument, You can teach Color Guard, and now you're going to clean feet?
I'm going to be working with Courtney Mills on the movement and choreographic side of things. So be heading to camps in Dallas and Wisconsin for the Phantom Regiment.
We have just become enemies.
Very excited about new opportunities.
Well, it's going to be the Jets and the Sharks when I see you, because your boss, Jason Robb, works with me with a competing drum and or bugle corps. We're going to get, this is going to get pulled.
Cool boy.
Yeah, copyright strike already. Thanks. Is there anything you want to plug? You got a record coming out, a new book?
Oh, wow. I wish. That would be great. That would be great. I secretly, way down and deep into my soul, I wish I was a singer-songwriter.
Why can't you be? No
one
look
wants,
like one.
First of all, no one wants, I could be a songwriter. I've always thought a good friend of mine, Eric Bell, back from back home.
Did you hear that, Ben? Third time, still didn't get it. Recognition.
Ben Potts is my soundtrack guru.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Oh, okay. He's been with me for a long, actually.
So it's just a business
fun,
relationship.
No, fun fact, Dan, you're ready for the fun fact with me and Ben Potts?
I'm ready for the hottest of takes.
Poking me. Ben Potts taught feet at Center Grove when I was in high school. So we have known each other for a very long time. Yeah.
Wow. And now he works for NASCAR? Or he's just he works, his projects are for NASCAR. He doesn't work for NASCAR.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Maybe I should have Ben Potts on here. He'll probably tell me my mics are all set up wrong and my levels like, oh, I don't need that kind of criticism.
We have some pretty good conversations about lots of stuff. So I think he'd be a great guest for your podcast. Sure.
I should have him and Eric Cosman on here and just put the mics on them and let them like yip at each other.
And then bring in Mike Bishop too. And then you can just like slowly back away into the hedges like Holmes.
And then maybe Michael Gilley. He can talk about bowling or something.
You've got four sides to the table here.
I only have two mics, but. Yeah, I'll get him.
We can get
him
close. Yeah.
Surely there's a recording studio in near around downtown Austin that would allow us.
Springdale Road, maybe.
Yeah, Springdale, next to a climbing studio of sorts. Yeah, whatever. Jennifer,
Daniel,
it has been a pleasure to have you here. You are an absolute delight. I hope that you enjoyed your White Claw summer and that Ben Potts can find it in his heart to forgive you for all the blasphemous things you've said today.
Hey, he got his turn. He got his turn.
This episode of Sketchbook Podcast is hosted by, edited by, produced by me, Daniel Montoya Jr. in Austin, Texas. Our logo is created by John Suh of Purpose Designs, and our music is provided by Epidemic Sound. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SketchbookPod. And to send us questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns, email us at sketchbookpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And as always, oh, hell, son, I was high that day. That doesn't make any sense at all. You can be second, third, fourth. Hell, you can even be fifth.